turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3, and as we look at this message, I titled it "The Resurrection of Jesus Christ Doesn't Matter," and I submit to you that it does matter. And if it does matter, then who does it matter to? And I think that as we look at this text, and I'm going to put it up here in the ESV, and let me read that and you can follow along. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then to the multitude, and then to Paul." Let's pray. Father, those three verses contain eternal life. Those three verses are words from you on how that we can know for sure that eternity is our home. Lord, I pray that as we discuss these verses and what it means, Lord, I pray that you would guide me as I speak. And Lord, as I pray often, Lord, if I am planning to say something that I shouldn't say, that your Holy Spirit would cause me to forget it. And then, Lord, if there's something I should say that I'm not planning to, that the Holy Spirit would bring it to my mind. Lord, I have great desire to be used of you. Lord, I pray for our dear friends that are here that are listening. Lord, I pray, as Paul says in Ephesians 1, that, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our heart that we might clearly see you. And Lord, I pray for each of us. Lord, if there's some here that do not know you as personal Savior, Lord, I pray that you would open the eyes of their heart this morning to their need of you. And Lord, for others that do know you, Lord, I pray that the power of the resurrection might touch our hearts, that we might leave this building different, with a different resolve, as we consider your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I was looking at these verses, I think it's very clear that the Apostle Paul had something important to say. He says, "For what I delivered to you, I delivered to you as of first importance." This is important. This message is important. There is nothing more important. And I'm probably going to say that more than one time this morning. But as we think about the message and the gospel, we have to think about who's it written to. And of course, we have that answered for us in the scripture in verse 1. It says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain." Now clearly, Paul is addressing this message, and he is talking about the gospel, and he's addressing it to believers. Believers who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and he is telling them, "I want to remind you of the gospel." Why is he reminding believers of the gospel? Because it's important. It is the most important thing we have as believers. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. There is power in that. There is more power in that than anything else in this world. Amen? Nothing more important, nothing more powerful. So why does he remind them of it? I mean, they kind of knew it, don't you think? I mean, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'd think you'd know the gospel, but he's reminding them of it. Why? Because it's important. Sometimes I almost think holidays like this do a disservice to us, because we kind of forget about the whole resurrection story until Easter rolls around. And then, oh, boy, we're going to celebrate the resurrection. I submit to you, I ought to celebrate the resurrection every single day. Amen? I mean, am I stupid? I mean, shouldn't we be thinking about the whole gospel message in its entirety from when we wake up in the morning, and it ought to consume our thoughts? It ought to consume who we are until we lay our head down on the pillow at night. It's important. It was important to these people because they had taken their stand on it. And let me tell you, those folks 2,000 years ago in the early church, taking a stand on the gospel was kind of dangerous. Could get you killed. Many places in our world today, Resurrection Sunday services were held in a secret location, because if they were discovered, they would be arrested and perhaps killed. We have a great freedom in our country to be able to enjoy a beautiful building and to worship the Lord freely. We should be very thankful. These people took their stand on it. This is how they were saved. Folks, there is no other way to eternal life than this gospel. Back in Paul's day, many different ideas. Today, you don't have to go very far. You don't have to talk to too many people, and they will give you an amazingly different assortment of ways that you can get to eternal life. There's one way, folks, by the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. One way. One way. So do you see why this is so important? The gospel changes everything. It changes everything. From the moment that we understand the gospel and we apply it personally to our life changes dramatically. It changes everything. It's the most important thing in this world, period. I so much appreciated Pastor Rodney's message this morning. It is amazing how God works these things out. It was a perfect message to precede this one. You see, Paul didn't want the Corinthian believers, and for us now, 2,000 years ago, reading this, or 2,000 years later, reading this letter, he didn't want us to think of the gospel as that thing that happened one day in the past. He wants us to think about the gospel in a way that is new and that is fresh, and that it is powerful every day that we live. It's not an event that happened for Phil Underhill in January of 1978. Now, that event did take place, but that day lives every single day of my life. Paul also wanted to make it very clear that he didn't make this stuff up. That the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ all happened according to the Scriptures. This is God's plan for the redemption of mankind. So if you will, let's take a few moments and consider the gospel. And I'm serious. Right here in my notes, it says that the gospel is viewed from two different perspectives. This morning we heard from Luke 16, about two men. We had two lives, two deaths, and two resurrections that we heard this morning. And I submit to you that the gospel is received from two different perspectives. And as we talk about the gospel this morning, we have to understand that there is a perspective from the unsaved point of view, and there's a perspective from the born-again saved point of view. So if you look at the gospel as it is here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see that Christ died for our sins. That's why he came. That he was buried proving his death, that he rose again on the third day, conquering sin and death, and that he appeared, proving that the gospel was real. This is real, ladies and gentlemen. My friends, if you're sitting here and this is new to you, I want to tell you, based on the authority of God's word, that this is the truth. That Jesus Christ did come, that he did live a sinless, perfect life, that he was crucified, that he was put into a tomb, and on the third day he did rise up out of that grave victorious over sin and death. Now, I'm going to tell you something you guys already know, that I'm speaking to a room, extended room. I'm speaking to a room of sinners, right? I mean, we're all sinners, every single one of us. And the only difference is that some have been forgiven and are justified, and others have not been forgiven, and they stand condemned. And if you're here this morning and have never experienced the forgiveness of sin, I would like to ask you, more than ask, almost beg. The Apostle Paul says implore. I implore you to listen to the next few minutes on the truth of the gospel. And if you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, for all of us as we sit here, I would, for just a few moments, to consider the power of the crosswork of Christ. Now, for some of you, this outline is very familiar. You've seen it 100 times, maybe 1,000 times. I have this outline jotted down in many different places. Now, some people would call this the Romans Road. Some people would have different names for it. I submit to you, though, this morning that this is not just for what you do on an evangelistic outreach. That what we are going to talk about is something that we ought to live and breathe every day of our life. The gospel's powerful. You see, in verse 3 it says that Christ died for our sins. That's why he came. He came to die. You see, we have a problem. Every single one of us has a sin problem. Every single one of us do. Some of us are born again and we've been forgiven of our sin, but that doesn't mean the problem went away. Did it go away for anybody? I'm wondering, did that problem go away for you? The scripture says in Romans 3:23 that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if you're here this morning and you have never accepted the Lord, and I need to let you know that we're all in the same boat, that everyone is a sinner. We've all sinned. Now, I'm telling you that when I first heard this and when it really clicked for me and it made sense to me on that day in January back in 1978, that whole concept, that verse was a big surprise to me. Because I didn't think that way. I thought there were good people, you know, the nice people. You know, they didn't drink or smoke or cuss or do any of that kind of stuff. And then you had the other people like me. You know, so I thought you had the bad people and the good people. So when I saw the truth of the scripture that everyone was a sinner, that was a surprise to me. And folks, you know that when God looks down upon mankind, he doesn't necessarily categorize sin. It's all sin. And it's all an affront to a holy God. A holy God. That's why sin is a problem. Because God is holy and you're not. and neither am I. I am only made righteous through the blood of Christ. So we have a problem. It's sin. And sometimes as believers, we think that we somehow attain this plateau status where we kind of get past sin. I've been working through Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 with our group. And I'll tell you what, if you want to read the last part of Romans chapter 7, you'll see that the Apostle Paul, probably one of the most mature, on fire, high impact Christians that have ever walked the face of this earth, struggled with sin. He struggled with it. Did he not? I mean, he said, why? 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 You read the verses and you can just feel the frustration in his voice. So why do I do the things that I don't want to do? And why do I not do the things that I know I should do? Why? 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 Sin's a problem. And there's also a penalty, and the penalty is death, for the wages of sin is death, from Romans 6:23. Death is a lot of things, right? I mean, a lot of things die. This is talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. There's lots of kinds of deaths. There's death of relationships. There's death of jobs. There's all kinds of things that sin just destroys. It destroys families. It destroys careers. It destroys personal lives through different vices. I mean, sin is awful. But as we speak now of the penalty of death, certainly physical death is a part of that, that sin is the reason why we have physical death. As we heard this morning, that there's also spiritual death. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a real place. Hell is a real place. And as we learned today, is Jesus, and Jesus wasn't telling a story this morning. That wasn't a parable. He used a name. He didn't use personal names in parables. He was talking about an event that took place. And that rich man was in a horrible place of torment. It's a real place. And that is the penalty. That is the result of our sin. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the bad news. Are you? I mean, I'm tired. You know what? I'm so sick of sin. I mean, I understand exactly where Paul was at the end of chapter 7, where he said, what a wretched man that I am. How can I get victory? Where can I get help? He says, praise God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we see the provision. And God demonstrates his own love for us, and this is that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you marvel in that truth? Do you marvel in that truth? Is that while you were dead in your sin, Christ reached down and he died for you. A lot of people think that, you know, that before that they make any effort to entertain Jesus Christ, that they need to get their act together. They need to get their life cleaned up. They need to get it together, and then they can approach Christ. And I'm telling you, that's exact backwards. That Jesus Christ looks down upon us as filthy, rotten sinners, and he reaches us and grabs us out of the miry muck, and he picks us up, and he makes us clean. Praise God that while I was still a wretched sinner, Christ died for me. He came and gave his life on that cross so that we could have life. And then we can know for sure that when this physical life on earth is over, that unlike the rich man that we heard about this morning that had a resurrection to the pit, that we would have a resurrection to everlasting paradise. The provision. As Paul was writing in Romans, and he finished up. Now you realize when Paul was writing, he wasn't writing chapter 6, and then he said, okay, now I'll start chapter 7, right? It's all one letter, and the whole chapter and verse thing came later. But as he was writing, and as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he was writing down through the end of chapter 7, and then we get to chapter 8, and we get to verse 1, and Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're talking about a pardon, a choice. That the no condemnation is for those who are in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that there must be a defining moment in every person's life when they choose to be in Christ. And then there is no condemnation. There is a pardon that's offered. Now, folks, I realize that there's a whole time issue here, but I'm just gonna do this. I really wasn't gonna give this illustration, but I'm going to anyway. Just because I can. Years ago, when I was still a hoodlum, I had the unfortunate experience of getting arrested in Ogallala, Nebraska. Of all places. And I was arrested for possession of marijuana. And back in those days, because I'm kind of old, back in those days it was still a felony. And I was just sort of passing through Nebraska. I really kind of wanted just to get through it. Unfortunately, I had this bit of a detour. And so this is a very, if I can say this in a very kind way, this is a very hick town, Ogallala, Nebraska. And I hope nobody hears from Ogallala, Nebraska. I hope nobody. They arrested me and this other guy that was a hitchhiker who was in my car. They arrested us and they sentenced us. They actually fined us. And I didn't have any money. That was very common back in those days. I had no money. So I couldn't pay the fine, and so they put me in jail. Oh, well. So I was in jail, and then I got to pay off my fine at $7 a day in the Ogallala County Jail. Fine place. Actually, it wasn't. It was like a dungeon. Heard my first thunderstorm there. Scared me to death. But as I was sitting in this cell, the first day, I am sort of bright at times. I knew automatically I didn't like it. It was really kind of not a very nice place. I mean, it was kind of smelly, and there were these drunks around, and it was just kind of a bad place. And so I called up to the deputy if he would come down and talk to me, and I asked him if there was anything that I could do around the jailhouse just to get me out of the cell. I would wash his car, I would pick up the trash, I'd do anything just to let me out of the cell, and he agreed. And I had about a 30-day time that I was gonna have to spend. So I actually became friends with this deputy. He had the cleanest police car in the whole county. I cleaned his car, washed his windows, I even started riding around with him. Day 10, he actually put me in a cell by myself so I didn't have to share it with somebody else, and he didn't lock the door. It was kind of cool. But anyway, he called me up, Phil, can you come up here? So I went up, and I sat down at his desk, and he's sitting there, and on his desk were my wallet, the keys to my car, the $4 I had, and there were three manila folders on the desk. And each of the manila folders had a very nice picture on it of me, like this and like this. One had a little tag on it for the FBI, the other one for the state of Nebraska, and one for the county of Ogallala. And here's what the deputy said. He said, "Phil, I've paid your fine. You're free to go." And of course, being humble, and I said, "Well, you know, deputy, you know, you do the crime, you do the time. I'll just go back to my cell and finish out my..." I said, "Wow, really?" And that deputy picked up those three file folders, and he ripped them in half, and he threw them in a wastebasket. I had a choice to make. Was I going to accept the pardon, or was I going to go back down there in my cell? And you know what I did. I accepted the pardon. Years later, I was in the Navy, and my particular job, I had to have a top secret clearance, and they did a complete background check on me, and there is no record anywhere of me ever being arrested in Ogallala, Nebraska. And folks, I'm here to tell you right now that if we choose Jesus Christ and we accept his pardon, that is our sin, that it is ripped up, it's put in the basket, and there is no record ever again. And if you've experienced that, you're saying amen in your heart. Thank you, God, that the burden of my sin is lifted and I am free. And maybe you're here today and you have that weight of sin upon you and you want to be free. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you can choose freedom, that you can choose the pardon, you can choose forgiveness. Because there is a problem, sin. There is a penalty, death. There is the provision, the cross work of Christ. There is a pardon, a choice. And then there is a procedure or call. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, folks, I realize that there's some that you know, you have the little magic prayer. But I want to tell you right now that if you are here this morning and you desire to have forgiveness, that you can have it right now, and all you have to do is call upon God and you tell him exactly what we've just put on here. I hope you guys have jotted it down, that you can talk to God and you say, "God, I know I'm a sinner. I know it." We all know it, right? I mean, it's no secret. And I'll tell you what, for those of us that hear that know the Lord Jesus Christ, I think if all of us were a little more like the Apostle Paul at the end of Romans chapter 7, we would grow and change like crazy if we would just come to grips with the fact that we're all struggling, and we would admit it one to another. As James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for each other and you'll be healed." That was free. I wasn't even planning to say that. But if you're here, you admit to God that you're a sinner, you realize that the payment of your sin is an eternity in hell, and that you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and he did, that you can choose him. And you can ask him for that forgiveness, and he will grant it instantly. And you can talk to God right now, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a moment. Folks, this is powerful, isn't it? This is powerful. We can live this as believers. We can live this every single day of our life. We get up in the morning and we think about, you know what, I am a sinner, but praise God I have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. His resurrection seals the deal, and I am forgiven, and I'm going to walk out my door into a lost and dying community as a redeemed man or woman with something to tell because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm just going to have a moment of silence. If you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and this morning you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, I encourage you, I implore you, I beg you to open your heart to Him. Talk to Him right now. Admit to Him that you're a sinner. Tell Him that you understand that Jesus died and rose again for you in your place. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to forgive you. Invite Him into your life. Father, I pray that as we are gathered here as believers, Lord, I pray that the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ would not be an event that took place years ago. It would not be a holiday once a year. Lord, I pray that for every single one of us that the gospel would be of first importance every day of our life. Lord, that we might leave this building as an army of redeemed saints into a lost and dying island. And that we might proclaim the message of hope and truth. Lord, I thank you for the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.